Welcome to Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, your daily dose of wrestling every single day here on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read wrestling news site on the planet. It is me, Matt Kuhn, a fan just like you, bringing you these daily shows, and we appreciate you guys listening, we appreciate you guys enjoying, we appreciate you guys listening to yesterday's show, which was another installment of Crime in Wrestling. Those of you who did not know the Hardbody Harrison story were very surprised to learn what a terrible, terrible person he was. But today, something totally different. Backed by popular demand, and sometimes when people say that, they don't mean it, but in this case, it's true. The greatest angle ever. Last time we did Arn Anderson, how he became an Anderson, how he came into the Georgia territory and facilitated the turn of Ole Anderson and created the Andersons and also created a perfect feud to start with Manny Fernandez and Thunderbolt Patterson. So today we're going to do something totally different and even more thorough. Today we're going to talk about the greatest angle I ever saw, Paul Orndorff turning on Hulk Hogan and everything that led up to it. And I mean everything. Today on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. To tell this story, and it is a great story, we have to take you all the way back to WrestleMania 1, the main event, March 31st, 1985. Of course, the finish was...
Look out!
Oh, he hit Orndorff! Unbelievable!
With the cash, down for the cover, Pat Patterson! He got it!
Bob Orton, on behalf of the team of Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper, accidentally hitting Paul Orndorff with his cast, costing the team the victory. It wasn't Paul Orndorff's mistake, but as soon as the match is over, the bell's rung, Piper looks around, he looks at Orndorff with disgust, he hits the referee, Pat Patterson, he leaves the ring. But what a lot of people don't remember is after Paul Orndorff comes to, there's a little moment.
Mr. Wonderful gets up. He doesn't know what's happened, Jess. All he sees is Mr. T and Jimmy and the champ in front of him, and none of his guys around.
Unbelievable. Paul Orndorff just coming unconscious of being knocked out.
That moment was when Paul Orndorff comes to and he wakes up. He looks up. He sees Mr. T checking on him, and he freaks out. He looks around. He doesn't see any of his teammates with him. No Orton. No Piper. His manager Heenan's nowhere to be found. But Hogan, Snuka, and Mr. T are almost checking on him, and they're keeping a distance from him. Orndorff doesn't know what's going on, doesn't trust them, doesn't know he's been hit, maybe, but starts to exit the ring, and as soon as Hogan's music plays, he flips out. He can't believe he lost. He's frustrated that he's part of it, and that is how WrestleMania 1 ends, with a threesome of Snuka, Hogan, and Mr. T celebrating in the ring, with Orndorff very upset. Confused, but the baby faces did not take this opportunity to beat up on Paul Orndorff or gang up on him. But his partners, the bad guys, left the building and left him there laying by himself.
Cowboy Bob Orton, ace that hit him and knocked him out.
There's the word.
As I said earlier, Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff was at present managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan. Strangely enough, when he first appeared in the WWE, he was managed by another person who just appeared in the WWE, Roddy Piper. But as time went on, Orndorff started to be managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan. Now, Heenan, being probably the most esteemed manager in WWE at the time, had someone in his charge that just lost the biggest match. He had to save face, but he was still managing Orndorff, and they appeared together on Tuesday Night Titans, which was a talk show with wrestling, hosted usually by Vince McMahon.
Orndorff was holding the back of his head, and of course he was struck, inadvertently, I would think, by Cowboy Bob Orton. Paul Orndorff, generally in the past, has really eased into tag team situations. Obviously, I think he prefers individual competition, but you've had him team up from time to time with any number of individuals. That team, however, didn't really seem to gel. Would you comment on that?
Well, you know, Roddy and I went over the match before the match. We were on the phone that morning. We met early at Madison Square Garden. We sat down.
What do you mean you and Piper had a meeting, sat down, and talked about the match?
Piper and I discussed the match, what we were going to do, what we weren't going to do. that afternoon, that morning at the Garden, around 11 o'clock, around quarter to 11.
Well, wasn't I informed about that?
Well, I called your room. I told you what time the limousine was leaving. There was no answer.
You know good and well I was in my room all morning.
Was there not a breakdown in terms of communication or coordination in the match?
Well, Piper's used to tag team wrestling. So is Orton. I'm used to managing some great tag teams.
Heenan is at his very best here. Not only is he saying Orndorff wasn't even in the planning, he didn't show up to the meeting, but he's not really a tag team wrestler. Piper's been in some great tag teams. I managed some great tag teams. He's already thrown his charge under the bus a little bit. Orndorff's having none of it, though.
I don't know if
I've been in a few tag teams myself.
Well, I realize that, but I'm talking about this situation here. If you'd have been at the meeting and we had discussed like I did.
But wait a minute. I wasn't advising no damn meeting. So don't start
that. Don't yell at me.
No, you don't come up here with
me. Maybe you don't know who I am. I'm your manager. You were Paul Orndorff. When I made you Mr. Wonderful, and you sit there and listen to me while I talk.
I want to tell you something right now. I want you to listen. I want you to listen, and I want everybody else out there to listen. You're fired. Just like that.
Just like that. Just like that. Paul Orndorff, who was a badass, people were ready to cheer him. He had a great presence. He definitely could be a babyface. And firing Heenan, the biggest heel in all of wrestling, the guy who just cut Andre's hair, is a great way to turn someone from a heel to a babyface right away. But how's Heenan going to react to all this?
Paul Orndorff just fired Bobby the Brain Heenan? Mr. Heenan, have you ever been fired before?
He don't know what he's saying. He don't know what he's saying. He's overreacting. Just because he got beat or something happened to him in Madison Square Garden or something happened, he don't know how to handle himself. Nobody fires me. Nobody talks to me like that. I've never had a woman break up with me. I've never had a deal fall through. And I'll be damned if I'm going to be fired by a man like Paul Orndorff. He was just a ham and egger when I took him from nothing and made him. Who does he think he is firing me on national television? I'm going to tell you something, pal, and everybody else something out here. I am a man of dignity. I am a man that demands respect. He was talking out of turn here. I'm his manager. And he thinks he's going to come out here just a couple of years in this great sport of wrestling and tell me when he's fired me? No, he hasn't fired me. He hasn't done nothing. I'll tell you what he's going to do. And if he's still around in earshot, I'll tell you exactly what you're going to do, Orndorff. You're going to wish the day never happened that you talked to me like you did. Because this isn't over with. Oh, no. This isn't over with at all, Mr. McMahon. No, this isn't over with at all. Nobody fires me. Nobody fires me.
All right, get a hold of yourself, will you?
Get a hold of yourself. Nobody embarrasses me.
All right.
I think sometimes people forget the true greatness of Bobby Heenan. And what I don't mean by that is his humor. Everybody knows he's funny. Everybody remembers all those one-liners. But for him to be an effective heel, which he very much was, he had to kind of toe the line between a threat, someone who had resources at his disposal, namely the wrestlers he had, and also this sense of pride that had been hurt. This sense of pride is what spurs the angle further that makes Orndorff a babyface, because now Heenan's been embarrassed. And you can hear in that promo how he goes from denial to bargaining, the five different levels of tragedy, and then finally he comes to terms with it and he says he's going to pay. But there's another interested party here. It's the person who is in the tag team match with him, Roddy Piper. Now everybody remembers Piper's Pit, and Piper's Pit has had a million different knockoffs, a million different copies, and of course, no one can really replicate what Piper did, but more importantly, I think people forget how Piper's Pit was used to perpetuate angles, whether it was Hogan versus Andre later on, or this particular angle. And now, these two people, who might have a common enemy, Bobby the Brain Heenan and Roddy Piper, come together as Heenan is a guest on Piper's Pit.
And he has a special announcement, and I'm excited as anybody else to hear the special announcement. Mr. Brain, Bobby the Heenan, I'd like to hear.
Well, you know my illustrious career, what I've done with athletes in this great sport of wrestling, what I've done and how I've made men.
Unbelievable.
The world's biggest no-good lowlife ingrate, Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff, has fired me.
What?
Now, of course, a lot of this has to do with the charisma and the presence and the abilities and the persona of Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff. But as you heard, and this is a theme we're going to see a little bit later on, is that there's a TV crowd and there's the live TV crowd. So the live TV crowd is often a few weeks ahead of the TV crowd. So this was news to the TV crowd. And if you heard that yell, you heard that scream, you heard that pop, as they say, Orndorff's immediately a babyface just by making this move against Heenan.
Put a fear on my reputation. He's a coward, and it'll be a cold day in hell that he thinks he's getting away with this, or he's going to pay for it.
You know what it was? He just didn't have enough guts to stay with someone like you as a manager.
100% right. As far as I'm concerned, Orndorff is like you, humanoid.
I mean, I'm sure for Bobby the Brain Heenan, there's no worse insult than saying that he is like you humanoids out there. He's one of you. What an insult. But also, it aligns the fans with Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff. Now, storyline-wise, Orndorff and Piper have not had a conversation, have not had any kind of interaction about the WrestleMania match. That is until Saturday night's main event, which takes place about a month after WrestleMania. And this time, it is Paul Orndorff who is a guest on Piper's Pit.
Let's face facts, man. I ain't no loser. In WrestleMania, it wasn't my shoulders that were pinned to the ground. It was your shoulders. You're sitting here being a big shot. It was your shoulders that were pinned to the ground, brother, not me.
Well, let me tell you something right now, Piper. Where were you at when it was all over and done with, huh? Where were you at?
I was doing my job.
Oh, yeah. You was doing your job, hightailing it back to the dressing room, and you left me there flat.
Baloney! Oh, yeah. Baloney, no, no. I was fighting T. I was fighting Hogan. I was fighting everybody that was to fight. You know what you was doing? You know what's happened to you, man? I'll tell you what happened to you. You lost your guts, man. That's what I think. Here, I picked you for a partner. I took you under my wing. You lost your guts, brother, and you tell me you didn't.
It's like we always talked about. The bad guys have to believe they're the good guys. Piper feels justified in what he was doing, even though what he was saying was false. He was not fighting T. He was not fighting anybody. He hightailed it out of there. But in his heart, he believes Orndorff is soft and that he didn't lose the match. Something also interesting about the Piper situation is that his shoulders were not pinned to the ground. And if you think of any Piper match or any Piper interaction in the ring, he never really let himself look like he was on the losing end of any kind of interchange. And whether it be verbally or whether it be wrestling, if you remember him standing toe-to-toe with Hogan, not selling anything. And the same thing goes for anything you ever see Piper in this era. He never gets pinned. He never even really sells punches. And that's part of his in-ring persona, but I think it reflects how he felt in real life as well.
Listen. You want me to tell you on the square, man? You want me to tell you something on the square? I think you're nothing but a piece of garbage, man. No. You want to fight? I'll slap you just as fast as you slap me. Let me tell you something, man. You're nothing but a piece of garbage. Not only did you embarrass me, did you embarrass Ace? You embarrassed your own family.
You keep my family out of there.
You son of a dumb son of a.
Paul Orndorff with another right hand. Orndorff with Piper. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. He's giving it to Piper. Sets him up for the power driver. Has him up. Oh, wait a minute. There's Ace from behind with a cast. Bob Orton, Ace.
And even though it seems it's a little predictable, it completely falls apart, as you just heard. There becomes a physical encounter. Orndorff gets the best of Piper, lifts him up for a pile driver. Orton with a picture-perfect cast shot to the back of Orndorff's head. And they get the best of Paul Orndorff until pretty much the most unlikely person in the world, the only person in the ring at WrestleMania 1 who outstretched his hand to Orndorff, even though it wasn't accepted, comes to his rescue. Who could that be? That's right, folks. It's Mr. T. Mr. T comes to the rescue of Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff. If you watch WrestleMania 1, there was a moment at the end after Orndorff's getting up where T outstretches his hands. Hogan's like, no, 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 now's not the time. So it makes sense to me storyline-wise, that little subtle thing with T is he's the one to make the rescue. He's the one to show you, hey, you're not out here by yourself. Now, this was the first Saturday Night's Main Event, and the headline match was Hulk Hogan versus Bob Orton. Cowboy Bob Orton was the second to Roddy Piper. He was the one who hit Orndorff with the cast. He is the perfect person to have on the first Saturday Night's Main Event because you don't want to give away all those house show main events of Piper versus Hogan, but it's a match people wanted to see. Plus, you get to see all the characters who were in this particular play work out. And what happens? Well, there's a beatdown, of course. There's a two-on-one, of course. Mr. T comes out to even the sides, but Mr. T gets beat now.
Oh, Mr. Wonderful Orndorff, just 6 weeks ago, opposing Mr. T and Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania, has come to their assistance against the very men, Piper and Orton, whom he fought together with in that great event. The tide has definitely turned for Paul Orndorff, and we'll be right back.
And who comes out now to return the favor? It's Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff. And they chase the heels out. And Paul Orndorff is now ensconced, is now emboldened, is now in concrete as a babyface alongside Hulk Hogan against Roddy Piper and Bob Orton. So as I said before, there's a TV audience and there's a live TV audience. So for the live audience that had gone to house shows, they had still seen Orndorff as a heel. Orndorff was wrestling heel, but he wrestled a couple of matches against Hulk Hogan in big venues in Philly and some other big venues where at the end of the matches, they shook hands. And they still had to wait for this kind of to air. So he still worked as a heel for a little bit. But now, after this aired, you had Hogan versus Piper still headlining the house show circuit. And you had Orton versus Orndorff headlining the house show circuit a little bit, but more and more Hogan and Orndorff tagging against Piper and Orton. Hogan and Orndorff being together, Hogan and Orndorff posing together. This didn't go on for months and months and months and months, but it was the predicate for the turn we're going to talk about later, because Hogan and Orndorff on the same page, two superpowers coming together before the mega powers, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, coming together to take on Orton and Piper. But things were going to move in a direction where Piper and Orndorff could headline arenas, and I think it was perpetuated by this moment right here.
Oh, look at this, just like that, setting him up now for the power. Oh, God. Oh, no, wait a minute. Roddy Piper, hammering away on Paul Orndorff.
During this whole time, Heenan takes out a bounty on Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff's head. Anybody who puts Orndorff out of wrestling gets $25,000. Quickly, he raised up to $50,000. And the Piper and Orndorff feud takes off because of a match between Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff and The Axe. He was a masked wrestler, where Piper does a run-in, and they have what I still think is the best pull-apart brawl in the history of wrestling. Of course, it might just be because I'm old. And this is Piper trying to collect the bounty from Bobby Heenan. A matter of fact, after Piper lays out Orndorff for the first time, Heenan comes to the ring with his briefcase of $50,000, but immediately runs away when he sees Orndorff get back up, because Orndorff's not done yet. And a lot of the Heenan family members, other people like the Spoiler and the Missing Link, they tried to get this bounty. But to me, this pull apart's great. Let's take a little bit of a listen to it.
Orndorff and Piper going at it like two wild dogs.
So that sets the stage for Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff, good guy, headlining around the country against Piper, even on shows that Hogan's not on. It's also worth mentioning that there were other people involved. There's other players involved, whether it be Andre the Giant coming to the rescue of Orndorff against Heenan family members because they had enemies in common, or tagging with Jimmy Snuka against Orton and Piper because Snuka has this history against Piper, or even getting involved on the babyface side with Bruno Sammartino because Bruno Sammartino, not that long ago, a couple months previous, had headlined some shows against Roddy Piper. And also, some real-life stuff starts to happen, too, if you look at the history, if you look at the matches that happens. Because the Hulk Hogan cartoon comes out, and Orndorff's not a part of the cartoon. Piper's a part of the cartoon. Meanwhile, Hogan is still feuding with larger-than-life people like Big John Studd. He starts doing some matches with King Kong Bundy, who is now part of the Heenan family because Jimmy Hart traded him straight up for the Missing Link. Sounds like a good trade. Also, at about the same time comes a debut of Macho Man Randy Savage. And I think there's a parallel between Orndorff and Savage, where Savage really had a body like Orndorff. Orndorff was a body guy, but Savage had a great look as well, but also had the over-the-top personality, also was flamboyant. He was not a monster like those guys, but he had a lot of what Orndorff brought to the table. But one might argue more of what Vince likes in terms of flamboyancy, in terms of personality, in terms of over-the-top character. But meanwhile, Orndorff and Piper are wrestling on Saturday Night's Main Event. They've got a hot feud going. But towards the end of 1985, you start to see Orndorff getting kind of diminished in his role, facing people like Morocco, having double countouts against Jake the Snake Roberts, really not being at the top of the card, and really not appearing with Hulk Hogan at all on the top of the card. So Orndorff is not really, I don't think, someone that Vince saw as part of his rock and wrestling connection or a big part of the future, but he is someone who drew money because he headlined all these West Coast swings with Piper. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. Third time around, they would do cage matches or they would do lumberjack matches. But not enough where it was able to maintain this top level position on the card where he's facing people like George Wells. And Hulk Hogan's attention is on King Kong Bundy for WrestleMania 2. Piper is not really around. He's filming movies and he comes back to do a boxing match against Mr. T for WrestleMania 2. But where's Orndorff? Orndorff, who had one of the highest profile feuds, two of them really, over the course of 1985, where's he at in WrestleMania 2, which takes place in March, April of 1986? He's having an opening match against Don Morocco that doesn't have a winner. So on screen and off screen, Orndorff's not really a priority, even though, obviously, you can see the drawing potential in him. It's worth mentioning a story that was told recently about Paul Orndorff was that at WrestleMania 1, there wasn't that much money. Vince didn't have money. He went to his main eventers. He went to everybody involved in the main event. Snuka, Orton, Mr. T, Hulk Hogan, Paul Orndorff, Piper. And he said, hey man, I don't have any money right now. I can give you your guarantee if you really, 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 really need it. But you can make a lot more money if you just hang out a little bit and you'll get more on the back end. And out of all those people, only one person took the money, which was Paul Orndorff. He took the guarantee and ended up getting paid a lot less than the other guys did. Now, this may not be a story you've heard before, but it was told recently on a podcast, and I have reason to believe it comes from a very, very, very reliable source. So that goes to show me that maybe Vince and Paul Orndorff didn't have that same kind of understanding, didn't have that same kind of relationship. Orndorff was more old school. Even though Piper was old school, he was smart enough and faithful enough in the Vince thing to say, okay, I won't take my guarantee, while Orndorff's like, let me get my guarantee. And that may be kind of a microcosm, a small look into the relationship between Vince McMahon and Paul Orndorff, and why, come around WrestleMania 2, even though he had this hot feud with Piper, because he wants to get the most out of him, why maybe Vince didn't feel like Orndorff was going to be a huge part of the future, and when these big WrestleManias came around, he wouldn't be a focus, but maybe during the summer of 85 with Piper, and of course the summer of 86 coming up, Orndorff could be a focus, but when WrestleMania comes around, he's going to go with somebody else. So WrestleMania 2 comes and goes. And it brings us to an April 1986 match on Saturday Night's Main Event between Paul Orndorff and Adrian Adonis. Adorable Adrian Adonis. And I think this serves two purposes. One, it kind of reintroduces Paul Orndorff on a grand scale as a major player and someone who's got heat of a variety of kinds, and also kind of injects Adrian Adonis into the situation as well. Now, after this match takes place, of course, it's a big schmoz, a bunch of shit goes on. We have ourselves, a few weeks later, a flower shop episode where the first nugget is planted by Mr. Adorable Adrian Adonis in the very easily influenced head of the now insecure Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff.
Let's take a look at the action.
You go in that ring and do all that hard work and demonstrate your opponent. It seems like you go over and tag Mr. Hogan and he comes in and makes the fall.
Well, come to think about it, so what if you're right? So what if he sells more dolls? So what if he sells more posters? So what if I do 90% of the work? You know something, Adrian? All that matters is that Hulk Hogan and myself are friends. And you know something? Yeah, you want to know something, buddy? What I think you're trying to do, and you stand up there, what you're trying to do is to cause trouble between us.
Well, be cheap labor. Carry my baggage.
So what if he sells more dolls? That doesn't matter. So what about the poster? Hulk Hogan's my friend, man. And what you say or anybody else...
So this is the very beginning of the turn. This is Orndorff, you know, maybe saying some stuff out loud that he had thought. It's fine. Hogan's his friend. Hogan's his friend. It doesn't matter. He gets all the glory. He makes the money. You know, Orndorff gets all the cheers as well. But at the same time, he realizes that Adrian Adonis is trying to start trouble. Adrian Adonis says, hold my baggage, and gives him his flower microphone. And Orndorff goes on a tangent, but he says, Hulk Hogan is my friend. So despite all that stuff, despite all that evidence that Orndorff's not as important as he thinks he is, the thing that he's holding on to is the fact that Hogan is his friend. And that's what's important. That's what matters to Paul Orndorff. The following week, on the Flower Shop again with Adrian Adonis, it's Hulk Hogan that comes out.
Let me tell you something, Adrian Adonis. How dare you last week try to stir up trouble between me and Mr. Wonderful Man? How dare you try to start trouble? Let me tell you something. I've been waiting a long time to get my hands on you, man. Now I get more reason than ever. But your time's coming, man. Let me tell you something. Paul Orndorff is like a blood brother to me, man. We've been training day and night together. I've even gone to his house, eaten with his family. Cut over here. I've even broken bread with his family, boy. And his mother said I was like a number one son to her. And all I got to say, Adrian Adonis, I don't ever have to worry about Paul Orndorff because I never have to look over my shoulder with a friend like him. He's the greatest partner I ever had, man. Like I said, like a blood brother.
Like a blood brother. And just like I said earlier about the Piper's Pits, major angles, top of the card angles took place and were booked on Piper's Pit. And in this case, on Adrian Adonis' flower shop. Because week one, Orndorff gets triggered. Week two, Hulk Hogan comes out to reinforce Orndorff's idea of friendship and also defends the friendship. We're going to go ahead and go to the next week. 3 weeks in a row of flower shops, and this time Orndorff is back, but there's another instigator in the midst. His old enemy, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
In the ring, you are the old Mr. Wonderful. Oh, yes. Oh, and you're so bad and tough when you're beating up a nobody. Beating up a nobody, but you're the old Mr. Wonderful. But let me explain some. I manage Stud and Bundy, who are the next heavyweight tag team champions of the world. And if you're so tough, Hulk Jr., if you're so bad, why don't you sign for a tag match next week against Stud and Bundy? But I got another idea. Why don't you get yourself a partner? And I'm talking about Hulk Hogan, huh, Hulk Jr.?
Let me tell you something right now, both of you. All I have to do is to get on the telephone and call Hulk Hogan, and he would be right here by my side. Matter of fact, I'm gonna call him right now.
Bobby Heenan not only doubles down on the idea that Paul Orndorff is living in the shadow of Hulk Hogan, but also that he's not as badass as he used to be because he just saw a match where Orndorff won a squash, and he's saying, you can beat a nobody, but can you beat my guys? And are you as good a friend of Hulk Hogan as you think you are? And Orndorff is starting to let these ideas sink in his head. Maybe he's not as good. Maybe he's got something to prove. And maybe Hogan's not his friend, but he knows Hogan's his friend. All he has to do is make one phone call, and Hulk Hogan will be at his side and kind of dispel all this shit that Hogan's not his friend, and also make him feel better about himself that he's not a second-rate, quote, Hulk Jr., unquote. Oh, and speaking of the phone call, I know I said earlier that Bobby Heenan's fucking brilliant, and this flower shop's a good example why. Because as soon as Orndorff said, I'll get on the phone with Hulk Hogan, freaking Heenan has a quarter in his hand and throws it to Orndorff, which Orndorff catches while he continues his promo. He's like, you want to make a phone call? Here's your quarter. So Paul Orndorff makes a phone call.
Tell him it's wonderful. Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff! Go get him right now! I don't care what he's doing! I don't care if he's got 605 pounds on his back! You just go get him and tell him Mr. Wonderful wants to talk to him right now! Immediately! He said what? He said what?
God. Orndorff can't get Hogan on the line. In the one time he needed him, the one time he had to prove that this friendship was real, not just to the world, but to himself, he couldn't get Hogan on the phone, and he is furious. He makes a face you wouldn't believe of utter frustration. He's so intense and so believable in this situation, and he just throws the phone down and walks away. And after he walks away from the phone call in frustration, Vince McMahon and Bruno Sammartino are introducing the rest of the matches, and Paul Orndorff walks on the set.
We're going to have that extraordinary tag team matchup. Of course, Paul Orndorff joining forces right here. Tell us you got it, man, because this is going to be a great moment in television, a great moment in wrestling. You and Hulk Hogan squaring off against Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, I've been trying to call him. I've been trying to call him 5 or 6 minutes. I've been on the phone. He won't come to the phone because he's working out. There ain't going to be a match. There ain't going to be nothing.
Orndorff's giving up. There's not going to be a match. There ain't going to be nothing. But yet, the following week, again on the Flower Shop, and there's something incredible I want to tell you about the TV tapings and the Flower Shops and this angle when it commences. It's pretty incredible. But the following week, we get Hogan and Orndorff together on the Flower Shop. Let's see if they've worked everything out and are on the same page.
Have you accepted the challenge?
Yeah, we're ready.
No! No! Well, confusion.
No! There's been a change of plans. I have agreed to have a match with the Moondogs because I want the whole wrestling world out there to know how good we really are as a team.
That's fine with me.
That's right, baby. And then next week, we are going to get in the ring with Studd and Bundy, and we are going to annihilate them. But you know something? Most of all, I'm going to show the people out there what the old Mr. Wonderful is about.
Hey, you know something? You know something? Yeah. The old Mr. Wonderful, I like that. And the surprise of the Moondogs first, then Studd and Bundy second.
Yeah.
That's fine with me. We'll wipe them all out. I'm sticking with you. We'll play by your rules. And Adonis, you troublemaker, you better stick your nose where it doesn't. You better stay out of our business.
Hogan and Orndorff on the same page, or are they really? Because Orndorff changed up, flipped the script. He said, no, we're going to take on the Moondogs first, and then we'll take on Studd and Bundy. So right now, looking back, you have to know the plan's probably in place, or almost about to be in place, because Orndorff said, we're doing the Moondogs first, because I want to show everybody what the old Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff is all about. Hogan, of course, thinks he means, you know, the old intensity, the old fire, the old effectiveness. Orndorff might mean something else, but he also might mean, I want to show everybody I've still got it. So instead of going with Studd and Bundy right away, they go with the Moondogs. And you're probably wondering why? Well, here's why.
What a hero, the round one of the
Orndorff and Hogan pick up the win against the Moondogs in dominant fashion, except Orndorff never tags in Hogan. Orndorff wins the match entirely by himself, showing what he said earlier, what he can do, what he can show the world, what the real, the old Mr. Wonderful can do. Never tags in Hogan. Hogan isn't even really confused. He's pretty much oblivious as soon as the match ends. Orndorff does the ear thing, the Hogan ear thing to the crowd. He poses to the crowd. Hogan follows him around, slapping him on the back. Orndorff doesn't even meet his gaze. But Hogan is oblivious to the fact that his partner, at this point in time, is resentful of him and is trying to show what he can do. And even Hogan starts to kind of follow him around the ring, posing with him. And every time Hogan poses, Orndorff makes what he thinks is a bigger pose. And Real Americans playing, how is Orndorff going to further prove that he's the old Mr. Wonderful? How is Hulk Hogan going to react? And what's going to happen now? And even though a lot of us may have seen it coming, it wasn't obvious to the point where there wasn't an escape clause for us to get back. You know, it was possible Orndorff just needed this moment. Also, it needs to be said how important booking this Moondogs match was. They could have gone right to the Stud Bundy thing, but they wanted to have this buffer match to show that Orndorff is a dominant force, that in his heart, even though Hogan's music is playing, he can do this all by himself, and maybe he should be getting the credit. Maybe he should be getting the applause. Maybe he should be getting the merch sales, because he did all the work, as everyone always told him that he did, all the way back to the first flower shop where Adrian Adonis said that. The table is now set for the following week's match. Huge match. Unprecedented star power for syndicated wrestling television at the time. Even though we're used to Raws having stars against stars at the time, you never saw it. Orndorff and Hogan versus Bundy and Stud.
And Hulk Hogan delivers the boot to the midsection behind the Hulkster now. Look at that maneuver! Hulk Hogan hammering away on Big John Studd. Shoves him to... Oh, my! Forget about it! Ooh, wow! And another one. Hulk with Big John Studd to the Buffalo Hulkster. Uh-oh, look at that.
Sorry for cutting off the most brilliant color commentator of all time, Bruno Sammartino. But as you can hear, it's pretty much as you'd expect. It's a match, good guys versus bad guys. Hogan clotheslines him, or as Vince says, what a maneuver. And then Hogan catches a clothesline from Big John Studd. The fans are into it. Orndorff's desperately trying to make a tag as the tables turn on Hulk Hogan.
Everything not to have him tag out now. They feel it there, but Hogan hurt right now. And they're going to try their best to finish him off here.
Slam! King Kong Bundy. Wait a minute. Break of the face.
Now he's got a chance to tag out here.
Stud comes in. Headbutt. Hook. Trying to make the tag. The Hulkster trying to make the tag on Paul Orndorff. Backed into the corner.
Now, even though what we see later might dispute this, it seems like the fix is not in. Orndorff is still trying to make the tag. He's enthusiastically trying to make the tag. He's even draping his leg over the top rope to try to help Hogan. Finally, Big John Studd headbutts Hogan, and Hogan, reeling from the headbutt, also trying to make the tag, collides into Paul Orndorff, knocking him off the apron. Now, Vince doesn't do a very good job of describing that, but that's what happens. After Orndorff's knocked off the apron, he gets back on the apron, but he's covering his face, he's covering his eye, his eyes hurt, his head hurts. Meanwhile, there's a double team going on against Hogan that's so vicious that the ref calls for the bell.
They've already been disqualified. Someone, come on, Paul, get in there. Orndorff should get in there and help out.
What's Orndorff
doing? You're hammering away on a champion. The match is officially over. We're just hammering and hammering. Finally, Orndorff comes in to help out. He sure took his sweet time about it. Nonetheless, Orndorff finally coming in to help champion Hulk Hogan. Gets him up. Pats him. All right. They'll win the match. Holds his hand up high.
And much like that first WrestleMania, he's out of it. And then once he comes to, he sees Hulk Hogan being double teamed. He comes and he clears house. And as you heard, he goes to Hulk Hogan. He embraces him. He raises his hand high. And it seems everything's okay. It seems like it was a double team. There's a miscommunication and everything is now okay because Orndorff did clean house. He did attack Bundy. He did attack Studd. He rescued Hogan. He's got his hand held up high in the sky.
Pats him. All right. They'll win the match. Holds his hand up high for victory. They'll win this matchup, but nonetheless. Oh, no.
And that's it. Orndorff has turned on Hogan. He has had enough. He raises hand victory. He rescues him yet again, proving to himself that he's the actual man. What does he need this fucker for? And he clotheslines him. And you can hear the reaction of the fans, and you can hear the reaction of the announcers instantly. Orndorff has turned. It's a clothesline, but how far does it go?
What's that all about?
You gotta be. No! 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 Look at that!
I don't believe this. What in the world is wrong with Orndorff?
He's waving Studd in. He's waving Bundy in. Heenan coming in.
And it has gone full circle. Paul Orndorff sets up Hulk Hogan in his devastating best ever pile driver. And after he's done with that, he motions with that ear motion that Hogan makes to the crowd, and you can hear the boos rain in. And finally, to show everybody where his heart's at now, he waves in the members of the Heenan family. And they celebrate together the vanquishing of Hulk Hogan and the return of Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff, not just to the fold, but also to his original roots, to who he really is, the old Mr. Wonderful. And who's there to join them in their celebration? Adrian Adonis.
Wait a minute. Look at Adrian.
This looks like might have been something that had been planned by all these people. Look at this. What?
Back to live action. Let's go back to the arena. The Hulkster being carried.
Was it the plan all along? Does it really matter? I don't think so. I think they were hoping this would happen, and they welcomed him back into the fold. And they manipulated Paul Orndorff into attacking their common enemy, Hulk Hogan. Narrative-wise, that's what happened, and it worked 1,000%. If you listen to the crowd, they're chanting Hogan's name as he's being carried out by King Tonga, Siviafi, and Dan Spivey, and Mike Rotundo. And then backstage, the celebration with the Heenan family, Adrian Adonis, and Jimmy Hart. And you have the makings of a big money feud. And if we have any questions about this, we're going to have a couple people's perspective on what happened. Number one, we're going to go ahead and go to Bobby the Brain Heenan, who has an explanation of how this whole thing happened on his own.
The success he has is because of Paul Orndorff. Paul Orndorff carried the team. Paul Orndorff needed help at one time. He called Hulk Hogan. Oh, no. The big Hulk was too busy, maybe doing some charity function, signing autographs, maybe kissing grandmothers, helping people across the street, doing something like that.
Wait a minute, when he didn't answer one telephone call. That's the only thing that I can see
well,
that didn't happen.
I heard different. Then when he needed him for a partner, he wasn't there to help him. During a match...
Hell, he never tagged the man. How can you say he didn't help him?
Orndorff handled the Moondogs all by himself. Hogan didn't want in the ring.
Hogan
then when they met these two,
are you kidding
I'm speaking.
Me? Had his
I'm
hand
speaking.
Up.
Excuse me, I'm speaking.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt when you're talking.
Well, don't interrupt then. Don't you have parents? Did they ever teach you anything? Now, when he finally went to make the tag, he didn't make a tag. He slapped Orndorff in the face. He says, I can handle it.
That was an accident.
I'm speaking again. Excuse me. You're very rude.
Wait a minute.
Now, he goes back into the ring and thinks he can carry on with Studd and Bundy. Hogan, forget it. Orndorff did what any person would do in that situation. He took Hogan into his own hands and finished him off.
Lord Alfred Hayes, you saw all of this. What do you make of it?
Well, I tell you what I would
Don't bother.
Like to do. You know,
Heenan is the best, isn't he? That was an amazing explanation. Of course, there's a victim in all of this. And I think we need to hear from him. What does Hulk Hogan think about all this?
You sold out, man. You swore to me you'd never take shortcuts. You took the biggest shortcut of your life, Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful. You were on the verge of greatness, man. You had a whole generation of little hucksters training with you, man. Saying prayers with you, dude. Eating their vitamins with you, man, and you sold them out. You didn't sell me out, brother, because you can't take me. I took your best shot, man, when I was down. Now I'm gonna return that favor. But just like those spies, man, in Washington, today who are selling our country out for diamonds, gold, ego, greed. Jealousy, man. That's just what you are, Orndorff. You sold out a country, man. You sold out all those people that believed in you, man. Cheap shot. Shortcuts. You make me sick, Wonderful. You'll never beat Hulkamania, man. I got a whole generation, man, that's gonna live forever because of this thought. Positive thoughts, that is. And we don't take shortcuts, dude. You know, I can even think every time you stuck your hand out to shake my hand, there was that thin film of perspiration coming off your palm that separated us as brothers, man. That separated us. The jealousy separated us between brotherhood. That's what it was. Orndorff, Hulkamania's got time. I got patience, brother. I ain't gonna take no cheap shot to take you down, dude. I'm gonna set you up and take you out for good, man. And all I got to say, those big wheels of Hulkamania, those big stones, man, they're gonna grind you up, man. But they grind ever so slowly.
Full disclosure here, I was never a Hulkamaniac. I was a Paul Orndorff fan. But holy shit, that was really good. What a great promo. If I was, not me, and a kid watching that, I would want Hogan to get his revenge against Paul Mr. Wonderful Orndorff. But bringing things almost full circle, we have one more thing to hit before we go full circle, in my opinion. We do need to go back to the flower shop now.
I want to introduce my new manager!
I want you people to remember something and think about something. You remember the old Mr. Wonderful? Well, forget it, because I'm talking about Mr. Wonderful with a capital M, Mr. Wonderful, the next heavyweight champion of the world.
Well, Orndorff didn't have a lot to say, but he didn't need to, because this angle led to a lot of money being drawn for WWE, whether it be more than one Saturday Night's main event, highly rated Saturday Night's main event, main events with Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff, to the big event in Toronto where 64,000 people paid to see this headline match. This was the money feud of the summer of 1986 and one of the biggest money feuds of all time. And it was because it had a good build, they took their time, they planned it out, and you ended up with an incredible angle as a result. Orndorff turning on Hogan, taking it all the way back to WrestleMania 1, where Orndorff gets flipped good by getting turned on by the bad guys. Slowly but surely, he works his way into the hearts of Hulk Hogan and the fans. He gets jealous at not getting the attention Hogan gets, and he turns back. Now, something interesting about this, I said I was going to talk about earlier, is that this entire angle took place over two TV tapings. The first TV taping had the original Orndorff on the flower shop, Hogan on the flower shop, and Orndorff not able to get a hold of Hogan on the phone. And the next taping, which happened about a month later, involved Hogan and Orndorff together on the flower shop, the Moondogs match, and then the turn, which I think is pretty incredible. I don't know how they kept the timing going. I don't know how they kept the fans there in the loop. I don't know how they got it on TV right, or how they were able to get it on Primetime Wrestling or TNT, which is where I got a lot of these clips from, straight without making a total mess of it. But they did that in two tapings. Now, bringing this 1,000% full circle, this to me is kind of brilliant. A couple months later, in October of 1986, on Saturday Night's main event, Orndorff and Adonis on a 2-on-1 attack on Hogan. Of course, Orndorff and Adonis are in league because they both hate Hulk Hogan. They're both involved in this whole turn. And who comes out to help out Hulk Hogan? None other than Roddy Piper. But that's a story for another time, and we hope you enjoyed this story, the best angle ever on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, here on the MLW Radio Network. If you enjoyed this, please let me know. I'm not sure how many more of these I'm going to do. These are very work intensive. They take a lot of time. But if you enjoy them and you want to hear more of them, let people know about it so that I know that you guys want me to keep doing things like this. Of course, regardless of what daily dose of Total Engagement you like, you're going to get it every single day from me, Matt Kuhn, here on Total Engagement. We will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow already. Whew. We'll see you then.